we open to a silhouette sitting on the edge of a skyscraper rooftop. Although night approaches, the city buzzes with neon lights and keeps the encroaching darkness well at bay. One panel, the shadowed figure leans back and stares into the sky. One panel, the figure sighs. The next panel frames our figure in the center, and beyond him, in the distance, we can make out horizon high. A girl walks into frame. We see her leg clad in skinny jeans. She is not wearing shoes, and a tail arches into frame. Tabitha's speech bubble reads, "You're not worried about the school, are you? And here I thought you didn't have any friends to worry about." "How can I be worried about anything?" replies Splice. The following panel shows a close-up of his face. He hasn't slept in days. "The heroes are gonna win. The in-between hardly matters." Tabitha cartwheels to the edge of the roof and stands on the tips of her toes to look out at the school. In the close-up that follows, we see the pupils of her eyes have taken on feline shape. Her hair appears thick and furry, and she wears the leather jacket, cartoon cat with blood-soaked teeth and all. "You think so? If it doesn't matter, we should go and do whatever we want. I bet a spooky Sunday would put even a smile on your face, sourpuss."
"No,"
says Splice in one panel. In the next, he follows with, "We need to stay low. I don't know what that old man's planning. And until I figure it out, I can't afford to do much of anything." Tabitha tumbles behind Splice and wraps her arms around him from behind. Her fingers arch as she presses her fingertips into his chest and twists his shirt. In the next panel, she whispers to him,
"Sounds like a dull way to live, Spence. If you're afraid of dying, you don't need to be afraid of the fall. Ride the flame."
One panel, Splice does not respond to Tabitha, and she rests her chin on his shoulder. One panel, the two stare at horizon high. Crowds of students are arriving and entering the building. One panel, Tabitha stands, and Splice doesn't move.
"Tell you what," reads Tabitha's speech bubble, even though the upper half of her is out of panel. We remain focused on Splice. "I'll leave you to your brooding. And when you get tired of sulking, maybe give me a call. Hero or not, Spence, we can set the city on fire."
She leans over the edge, and in the next and final panel, falls.
Three, two, one.
I feel confident about that sync test. I think you and I are pretty in sync.
It looks really pretty on my recording, actually.
Yeah, it looks good.
The energy, very solid.
Beautiful fucking waveforms right here.
Mm-hmm. I've never felt more in sync with you guys than I do at this particular moment.
Just like your camping trip, bud.
No dirty water in this sync.
Particularly, my three looks great. My three looks fantastic.
It's a good three.
Yeah, solid three. You're gonna like that when you hear it.
I'll highlight that. I'll turn it into a sound bite for the Discord.
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Three. I just kept going. Five, four, three, two, one.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you just kept repeating the number five,
and yeah, I was like, good five, good. Five, five.
That'd be awful.
Next time I'm doing that.
No, you can't. You literally can't.
It's against the rules.
You actually could. I could figure it out, but. Hello, Internet. Welcome to a Critically Accursed podcast where the plot's made up and the roles don't matter. I'm your host, Slade Wilson, and joining me today are the Teen Titans. Everyone, say an awkward hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm both excited and nervous to be here.
Hi.
I'm going to be honest. That, I think, is the best round of hellos we have ever done on this show.
Okay, kind of hurt my feelings, but that's fine.
That's not saying much.
If only Aelin had said hello.
I felt Aelin's hello.
Did you? In Discord
chat? Yeah,
in my heart.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to have to hire someone to sit here and read Alan's part of the podcast that he types in Discord for him.
We'll start tacking it to the end of episodes. Somebody can just go through and do dramatic readings of it.
Can it have a British accent?
Right now he said, that would be excellent.
Oh, we should compete with our Alan impressions.
Probably that would be excellent.
Oh, Lord. What? Oh, boy.
Classic Alan.
Little do our listeners know, Alan is actually Cockney. He just hides his accent for his character. He's amazing at doing impressions.
It's kind of him, really.
It's fantastic.
Great. Well, we're here to play some Teenage Superheroes again, I think. Probably. We'll get to it. But before we do that, how are you guys doing?
Every day is suffering, and I'm glad that to be one day closer to death.
Well, you beat me to it.
Ha!
Jeez.
I knew you were going to say it. Had to race you.
Nice.
I got a good night of sleep. I'm doing great.
Oh, well, we're all very happy for you, Matt.
Oh,
clearly
stop
you're
that.
Doing the best of us.
No, don't be like that.
The best of us. All around.
Spot the lie. Cam. Mm-hmm.
It true.
I didn't know this was going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Nice little house. Great wife. Good job. Oof. Winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic pets. Great pets. Can't even argue that.
Good pets. You got good pets, too.
I have a good
pet. Actually, you know what? This helps me segue into something. I was going to ask everyone to see if they can promote something before we get started today. Seth, who's one of your favorite streamers on Twitch?
Oh, God. You're going to make me choose? Oh, I love them all so much.
I'm going to make you choose.
Okay.
You're going to make one person really happy and piss off all the rest of them.
All right. Fine. God, I know I should say one of my good friends who are streaming on Twitch, but that would be disingenuous. Like, I love you guys, but... Momo on Twitch is a fucking fantastic streamer. She is funny, has a beautiful singing voice, doing a lot of stuff with Baru right now, who's like one of the top streamers out there. Amazing dude, but she's really rising, doing a lot of good stuff, great content, and she's a VTuber. Super hyped about that movement.
Nice. Sounds like a high recommendation from you, Seth.
I'm mostly there for the singing, but no.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fine.
Neat. Well, hey, Alex, why don't you tell me something cool that people should pay attention to /watch/play/do?
If there's anyone who hasn't seen Yu Yu Hakusho, you should definitely go and watch it, because I just watched it again because our good DM was going through and it made me want to watch it. God damn, is that a good anime that holds up after all this time?
Oh, start to finish, it's a ride, it's a trip, it's just so feel good and fun.
It is actually fantastic.
Great character development, one of my favorite anime.
Yeah, there's a few episodes that really, there was one episode in particular that had some really fantastic animation to it in a particular fight scene. You know, it's just a blast to watch. I've been watching it for a while, so I agree. Danielle, tell me what's on your mind. What should people pay attention to these days?
Oh, what should they, or what am I? Because that's completely
different.
What
would you recommend?
Well, I mean, I've been watching an unhealthy amount of streamers play Phasmophobia. So, I mean, maybe I'll just shout out one of the streamers.
Or if you're quick enough, you could shout them all out.
Okay. Well, I love... I love Timetell, Grave Bear... They play together. It's hilarious. I would check them out for sure. And then Otterpop18, she's amazing as well, and she's hilarious. So those are the people that I watch like from morning till night. And it's probably a very unhealthy obsession, but I even watch them in the background like all day.
Very cool. Very nice. Thanks for the recommendation. And maybe if people listening to this, our issue of Horizon right now, ever decides to pop in on those streamers, maybe they can find you in chat at some points. Because you're a very minor celebrity now, Danielle, I hate to inform you. Very minor celebrity. We are popular across tens of people.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know if I could live up to the fame.
So much pressure. It's okay. I know I can. So don't worry about it. Hey, Alan, can you tell me something that you would recommend to people to do, read, watch, play?
Oh, man, I was just going to generally recommend the activity of reading.
That is so on brand, bud.
It needs to happen. Also, I had to ask Lauren because I was like, what do I promote? Because I don't do things. And she's like, you read a lot. And you're like, I read. That is the thing that I should promote is reading. So yeah, just reading in general.
Reading in general?
Reading okay, in general. That's good. Whatever form suits you. Magazines, books, doesn't need to be physical, can be digital.
Look at words and comprehend them, damn it.
Yes. You can also listen to them. I have nothing against audiobooks either.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a good thing to do. I should get into audiobooks. Help me actually process some books for once.
That's all I listen to is audiobooks. Like, all I do is listen to audiobooks when it comes to reading anymore.
It's a good idea. It's very convenient, I think. Hey, Matt. Nice of you to jump into the conversation. Can you recommend me something?
I guess I'll recommend the last audiobook that I listened to. It was called The City We Became by N.K. Jemisin. It was a fantastic book.
Roughly, what's it about?
The City We Became, it's, without, like, I guess giving anything away, is about kind of like the avatar of New York City dies, and then five new ones pop up from, like, each borough. And it's actually kind of a, I want to say, like, superhero story, but because, like, they're not, like, superheroes in any sense of, like, the term, but they are, like, avatars of, like, Staten Island, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, and Manhattan. They all get one. Also, N.K. Jemisin in general, go consume her books, because she is a fantastic writer.
Very solid recommendations all around.
What about you?
What about me? Wow.
Yeah.
Put on the spot like this.
Turn the camera around on the interviewer.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend one of the Actual Play podcasts that I've been recommending across the board these days. A good friend of mine, he goes by Frog on the internet. He runs an Actual Play podcast called Dice Benders, which uses a modified version of D&D 5th Ed with custom Avatar The Last Airbender classes to tell a story taking place several years after Korra. So I've been listening to that a lot. I've guest starred in a couple of episodes on their podcast, and Frog's just a generally great dude.
Frog's
so
the best.
Frog is a great guy.
Yeah, so go check out his podcast and follow him and the stuff he does online. All that said, I guess we can pretend to be teenage superheroes for a little bit.
Let's boogie.
What do you mean pretend?
So, let's see. The last time that we played this game, we left off a little bit into the Halloween dance at Horizon High. Several things are going on, but particularly and thankfully, I believe everyone involved kind of collectively gathered at the Laser Disc Arena in Horizon High's secondary gym to play a game of Laser Disc when our issue concluded. I think to set the stage today, I'm going to reiterate a few things in panel format that I mentioned towards the end of last issue, and then kind of give it to you guys to tell me just a little bit more about the laser disc thing before we keep rolling today. So, our comic book, some panels we see at the beginning here, is we get a nice panel or two framing. It's like a low angle. There's a cigarette on the ground that's burning out, and we see the front of Horizon High with the back of someone we know to be Nathaniel, wearing his trademark Not John Constantine trench coat, walking to the front door, hands in his pockets. Another thing we see jumping around to the back of Horizon High, framing the front entrance of the haunted house tent, we see Chadworth and his teenage friends, his little social circle, congregating around like the ticket booth to get entry. And we see Mary in her glitched costume, which is currently turned off, beginning to walk over to them. Cut inside to the gym that has been kind of cleared out to make room for dancing. There's a stage, and the bleachers have been like pushed to the side, and on one of these bleachers we see sitting alone is Natalie Small, dressed up like a mummy, wrapped up in bandages, just alone looking down at a phone in her hand.
We jump once again to one of the bathrooms in Horizon High. Looking into a mirror, we see the face of someone that we now know to be Tyler Cadence, with like perfectly done black hair, wearing a very futuristic, popish outfit that kind of sparkles. I'm picturing whites and like light pinks, I guess. And he has a woman on either side, like helping him gussy up for his upcoming high school performance for some reason. Swinging back to the gym, we can still see Natalie on the bleachers, but she's in the far back, peeking through one of the doors, just watching everything going on in the gym, is the teacher, Kevin Splash. He's not dressed up in costume, because of course he's not. He has this slate expression on his face, and he's just watching. And in the next panel, he's no longer standing in the doorway. He is gone. Then we frame the entrance to the secondary gym, where there's a whole bunch of like fog coming out of the doorway, and the doorway itself is just lit up in this spectacle of lights, and there's like sound effects of laser disc action going on, buzzing laser sounds, cracking, slamming, all this, all the comic sound effects are there. And that is where we kick off for today, as we flip the page. And I know at the end of our previous issue, I had you all coming out, and we had that nice, like, framed piece that showed the entire cast and some of their, you know, NPC friends. But what I would like to do is take a step back from that and reframe some of the Laserdisc stuff and put it back to you guys. Tell me some of the things that may happen during these games of Laserdisc. Because maybe you guys want to do something with clear conditions, or call up some drama, or talk to someone. I don't know. Leave it up to you guys. If you want to do something specific during Laserdisc, now is the time to paint me some panels.
One thing that was pretty important to Scott here was actively challenging. There are three of you he'd challenged. I'm pretty sure Todd was one of them.
It was Todd, Tate, and Robbie.
Yes. You three had been clustered together. Old Cyber Grimace is over there with Seth and Pitbull, and he very clearly challenged you three. And this was something actually fairly important to the character.
Okay. So, yeah, do you want to keep building off of that and tell me some of the panels we see? And, like, you and Alex, since you guys, and Alan, he's also there, can kind of tell me how it escalates or what happens?
I think that's entirely a question as to whether or not they accept. Certainly not going to force their hand.
I believe at the end, it was during my ending scene, when we were still describing the Laserdisc scene, it was Todd saying to Robbie that, oh, looks like we got a game. So, yes, we accept. I believe I accepted because Tate doesn't know how to play yet, but Todd ran him through the basics before we started.
Tate just knows that it involves doing something with a laser disc.
Cool. You guys want to try something fun with like a quick round robin of individual panels?
That I think that sounds killer. If we can, though, can I suggest we start off with like one panel showing Tate, Todd, and Robbie, just how they look, and then another, the following panel, maybe just across from them on the same page, showing Seraph, Python, and Pitbull, like just getting ready.
Over the shoulder view from each team's point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with Alex and Alan telling me like how their characters look in these panels. There's fog everywhere, there's a lot of lights, but we get this over the shoulder look of you guys from behind your opposing team.
So Todd, his little smirk never leaves his face, but he definitely does have the thought of, we're going to get so wrecked.
You can't see Tate's face because he's the knight. So you just kind of see this dark blot filled with stars shrouded in fog. Very enigmatic, but you'll see a thought bubble being like, so I'm supposed to like throw this thing?
Yeah, and I picture him in the middle of you guys, because he's probably a little bit shorter than the two of you, but is Robbie Pepper dressed as Beerus from DBZ for some reason.
sitting there, looking very serious, but he has his own thought bubble saying, I still have no idea how to play Laserdisc. This is gonna suck. And then the panel across from the one we just described has Seraph's team.
Yeah, I mean, you've got giant, round, pear-shaped, dark purple cyber grimace standing there, one foot on a hoverboard, other foot has that energy laser disc just, other hand has this energy laser disc just floating over it, just big plastic googly eyes looking out at his opponents. And I imagine that Seth and Pitbull are standing behind him, just like lazily stretching or something.
I think Python and Pitbull are standing at either side of Seraph, and Pitbull's just like cracking his knuckles and rolling his neck around, and Python's pointing at Robbie and extend and like wagging around his super long tongue at him. And there's a thought bubble from Python that says, the twerp is mine. Let's see if I can make him cry before the end of this. So yeah, Seth, round robin, you guys can just tell me some panels.
So yeah, first shot, probably close up, one big purple hand adjusting the Gordy LaForge visor over Cyber Grimace's googly eyes. Behind his head, a raised purple mitten with that glowing disc ahead of it. I like to think that the top and the bottom of the panel are blacked out to sort of narrow it in, give it a good Western vibe.
I feel like the next panel will be a little bit later on. You'll see like Robbie at this point is like bruised and battered a bit, and you see Todd's eyes just kind of narrowing and focusing in on Python, and that's like a quarter of the panel. The next one, bam, and then Python on the ground, or at least like knocked back with like Todd ramming into him.
You're gonna see at some point like it's going to be an action shot of Tate diving through the air to catch one of the laser discs before it hits Robbie in the face. Because he still doesn't know how to play, but he is now like you'll see maybe a small thought bubble that's like, just think of this as training.
I want to follow up immediately on that. We see Tate closing in on the laser disc before it hits Robbie. And then from the smoke, this hulking shadow of Pitbull just like shoulder checks him.
Oh, it's just going to be a fight. I love
Back to Seraph's point of view, totally oblivious to all this violence, hoverboarding off the wall to slam a laserdisc through a hoop. Just a quick speech bubble of, yeah! While behind him, Pitbull has like got into a grapple with someone. Seth is on the ground. Folks are like trying to get scattered like bowling pins.
I like to think at this point it's like half deteriorated into who can hit the other team the hardest, at least from those who are paying attention to the violence that's going on. And Todd's just doing his best to get back at Python for hurting Robbie. And it seems like Python only like half acknowledges Todd's attempts to get him back.
Again, this is Tate's first time. He's like, I didn't realize that this is what it would like. What like you see the massive like they're probably like his hands are on my shoulders and I'm like trying to like push him away. So like my arms are like wrapped around his and we're just like in a strength contest right now. And he's like, this is much more violent than I thought Laserdisc was supposed to be.
As we go to the next one, I think it's important that we don't forget that although this is one of the Laserdisc matches going on, there's multiple Laserdisc matches in this room. I think we can actually start hearing from some of the other people, specifically from Matt and Danielle, about what's going on at their end as we kind of do this round robin panel description of stuff.
Right. So I was thinking that it's probably not like a match going on, but I think Pep was in there showing Maddie and Lexi how to play Laserdisc because he too is like quite a fan of it. He probably plays with the boys a lot who haven't shown up yet. Yeah, they're probably like off on one of the other courts, and he's probably like they're probably like on the court adjacent to the one where the actual bloodbath is happening. He's probably like showing them like, okay, you want to hold it like this and try to throw it through here. And that's like the panel like currently while that match is like just started.
Yeah, I'm definitely learning with Lexi, and we're playing over there on that, like, practice court section. But if I, like, hear something going on over there, I was just gonna kind of look and be like, wait, Pep, is that your brother?
Oh, is, Robbie gets, like, knocked to the ground by Seth?
Yeah. I was gonna be like, wait, what's that? Is that your brother?
Yeah, Seth's standing over Robbie, and, like, Pep's head, like, turns to, like, the side to, like, look at it, and he just goes, Nani.
Yeah. And then I think following up that, we get a kind of a slightly smaller panel that looks the exact same as that one, but it's Lexi just, like, saying out loud, oh, that's terrible. But then, like, leaning in towards Maddie and, like, whispering, is Pep going to get into a fight?
I don't know. I mean...
So Pep's going to go get into a fight.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going, Matt.
I figure as soon as, like, he walks away, Lexi and Maddie just start playing catch with the laser disc. They don't know what they're doing. They're, like, watching, but they're, like, tossing it casually while they're watching.
Well, I was going to have Pep take off the, like, the hood and mask that he's wearing and, like, hand it to Lexi and just say, like, I'll be right back.
And very small speech bubble just says hot from Lexi.
And then there's a there can be a panel of Pep walking across the court to the other thing, just like pissed and determined.
And then we can just watch and drink and talk.
I think it's time for me to clear a condition. Turning around after getting his goal, finally having himself a good time with these people, Scott will look out as a brawl is breaking out behind him. You know, this one kid's big brother is coming over. I like to imagine kind of rolling up his sleeves a bit. Like, clearly there is a fight going on and it is escalating and his good time is being ruined. Seraph has super strength. He's just scored a goal and he's just going to scream out, God damn it, and just slam his fist into this goalpost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you break it then, right?
Safe to say.
Millions of pieces?
I'd like to think of, like, just cracking in half and toppling over, slamming into the floor of the gym.
I'm imagining at this point, Python and Todd are, like, in full fight mode. Like, they got both arms raised to punch each other in the face. When that happens, they both just kind of look to the side, fists cocked in a punch.
Right. I think since we're framing Python in that panel, too, he just mutters,
shoots. I forgot, only dance battles.
This is a conversation we had.
He got carried away. Yeah, okay, cool. Alan, tell me how you're reacting.
So yeah, I want to say it's still like him and Pitbull grappling. And you'll see him like say out loud, be like, I never, like, laser disc is intense. He just broke the goal.
And if you two are grappling, I think Pitbull's looking at where Seraph broke the goalpost, and a little muttering from him, a little speech bubble from him is just saying,
wow, he's tough.
And then he just
fucker
looks back at you, Tate. Matt, how about you?
I would say that the panel is probably while Pep is like picking Robbie up off the ground. And, like, they both just kind of look, like, wide-eyed at the at the goal toppling over. And Pep just goes, whoa, is he the one that hit you?
Yeah, I think so. I think the whoa is a shared speech bubble from you and Robbie. And Robbie responds in the same panel. No. Do you know him?
And then underneath the Robbie speech bubble will just be Pep saying, no, and thank God he's not the one that hit you.
I know, right? And you help him up. And then we cut back to Madison and Lexi playing catch.
La la la.
While they like half watch what's going on.
Oh, Lexi's glued to it. Well, she was glued to Pep, to be honest, but
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of casual. They're just kind of like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, like Lexi just says, like, that doesn't sound good.
No. No, it doesn't. I hope they have that. I hope they have that under control.
Can I do a very small monologue?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'd like to think of a panel, you know, grimace there, probably like the purple glove, like ripped off his fingers, showing that golden skin through, pointing just, you know, one long finger at the group, just yelling out, you know, all caps in the speech bubble. Every goddamn time. How hard is it just to play a game? What is wrong with you people? We're at a high school dance. Why do I bother? And just storming out.
I think as you storm out, or even the panels that show you saying that, some of the fog begins clearing up, just like for visual sake. What we see as you're walking out, maybe in the background of one of these panels, is like Python actually like taking a step to follow, but then stopping and glancing over at Todd. And that's where we kind of leave that interaction. You know, he probably actually looks like he legitimately feels slightly bad that he forgot about the dance battle agreements. but he doesn't actually pursue you at this point. The other important thing I think we see is, Seraph, if you're leaving the secondary gymnasium, you pass Kevin Splash, Mr. Splash, just as he's walking in.
Two quick questions.
Yes.
One, can I clear the angry condition?
Oh, for breaking? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, I think so.
Can the passing by of Kevin Splash involve a small shoulder check? Just one of those, like, rude casual shoulder bumps you see in so many high school dramas.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that if he, like, stops to look at you, you just keep going. Like, you're not stopping for anyone at this point.
Cyber Grimace has no brakes.
Yeah, so I think combined with, like, breaking the goalpost and your little outburst there and checking into Kevin Splash, all that easily clears out angry for you. We cut back in the same vein to, I guess I will follow up on Python a little bit. He looks at you, Todd. I'm going to feel stupid for saying this, but it's his words and his thoughts, not mine. But he just like gestures at future Cyber Grimace shuffling off. And he says, you know, this is your fault. We weren't supposed to fight tonight. And he gives you one shove before also walking off.
Oh, no. Todd sucker punches him in the face. He like grabs him by the shoulder and punches him in the face for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. You would knock him to the floor. And you can clear angry at this point, especially considering that Kevin Splash saw you do that.
That's fine.
Yeah, Pep's getting in between that. He's actually probably got his hands on Todd, like holding him back and just being like, cut it out.
And as Mr. Splash continues walking into the gymnasium, he does look after Future Grimace as Grimace walks off since he was shoulder checked, but he doesn't pursue that. His attention lingers for a while on you, Madison. For a moment, and he actually starts passing you by as he goes to get to the middle of the gym, and he says under his breath, kind of mostly just so you and probably Lexi can hear, I certainly didn't expect a fight to break out under your watch, Sky. Hope you're having fun. And he continues walking by.
I was about to grab an adult, but there one is, even though he's a rude one, she just says to Lexi.
Yeah, she leans in close and she's just like, he's such a jerk every single time he calls you out.
I mean, I'm glad he's here because, like, I was going to go find somebody if this, like, kept up, which it has. But, I guess he's here, even though he insulted me on the way out, way in.
I'm never glad he's here. Guy's such a jerk.
So mean to me.
And Kevin Splash, just like, as he sees kind of the fallout from Todd sucker punching Python, he just says sternly and out loud, that's enough. We are done here. I'm closing down this event. He's going to point out Todd, Robbie, Pep, Python, Pitbull, Tate. Because I think you guys are kind of like visibly the epicenter of this at this point. He points out the lot of you and he says, you stay. Everyone else leave. We're done here. And I'm assuming those of you were not called out, mostly just Madison and Alexi leave.
I guess so. We're like, fine, we could use drinks anyway. We'll get refills.
As you're leaving, we get a panel of you and Lexi, like, meagerly making your way out. It's just as the boys begin entering. So there's this crowd of, like, Pep's friends, like, oh yeah, I'm super psyched for Laserdisc. I can't wait for the, whoa, what's going on?
Oh, were they saying that to me?
Yeah, they were saying that as they were, like, walking in, and then they just come, like, face-to-face with you and Lexi.
Oh, there was a fight in there, and now Mr. Splash is breaking it up.
Hey, is that Pep? Was Pep in a fight? Did he win?
His brother was involved, so he, like, just ran in there. He's, seems like he's trying to break it up.
Typical Pep.
True. So he's looking out for his brother, and that's nice.
I think at that point, we focus back in on the gym as Kevin Splash has the remaining of you, your attention.
I don't care who was responsible for this. You all know the rules. This was unwarranted and foolish. A lot of you are lucky I'm not kicking you out of this dance immediately. And
it's at this point that Python's just like, you know what? Forget this. I don't care what you do to me, Professor. And he just leaves. And Pitbull shrugs and looks at Kevin Splash and says, you ain't gonna stop me. And he also leaves. Kevin Splash watches them go, but he doesn't stop them. Kind of like they're lost causes anyways. He turns his attention back to you, Pep, and he like looks down at your leg a little bit, and then he looks back up at you, and he just says, you never stop with the leg, do you?
No. Then he'll like try to stop with the leg.
Yeah, again, just hold it down, yeah. Any of you know who was in the purple costume?
I assume it's a panel of a bunch of like rapid head, like head shakes. No,
I suppose I'll have to find him later. Other way, consider yourselves to have detention come next week.
What?
You're lucky it's not more. In fact, you're lucky I'm not kicking you out right now. You, he points at you, Pep. You can leave. The two of you are staying for a moment.
He points at Pep and Tate and says, the two of you can leave.
Todd, Robbie, I need further words with you.
Todd will look at Robbie and shrug.
Yeah, Robbie's just like looking down at the ground. He seems to not be used to getting in trouble like this.
I sort of give a look at Todd, like, is it okay to go?
Todd'll just give you the nod and be like, and just move his head towards the door.
I was going to say, Pep will like tussle Robbie's hair and just say, it's not your fault. You're going to be fine.
Robbie nods, but he doesn't say anything.
I want to say that as they walk towards the door, Tate's just gonna ask Pep, be like, I guess that's not normally how Laserdisc is played.
Pep will actually say, honestly, it's like 50-50 shot most of the time. Depends on who you're playing with.
Can I just jump in and say I immediately love that Laserdisc now has like a soccer hooligan kind of culture to it?
A hockey fight aspect.
Yes.
It's Laserdisc. It's forever evolving.
But we will never define rules.
Never, not even once, not even a little bit.
We don't want them.
Great. At the conclusion of that, I think now is a good time to jump back over to Seraph to see kind of what he gets up to after leaving or where he intends to go. What's going on, Seth?
Well, Scott's in a bit of a huff. He's probably just going to storm out just to like the back of the school. I imagine where like the track and field is, you know, find some bleachers. Take his head off and cool off for a bit. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you.
And all the things you do.
So you're sitting on the bleachers. If you're out back of the high school, you probably hear some of the like ambiance and spooky music from the haunted house that's out back there.
Oh, yeah. Just like a tiny bubble with like really sketchy letters just spelling out spooky, scary skeletons and shivers.
yes I think we get a few panels that kind of linger on that setup for a little bit. It goes through the spooky scary skeleton song for a little bit, and Seraph gets poked on his butt from underneath the bleachers a little bit, like a couple of times.
Jump, look down. It's like jam his head back on and then go to look down.
There seems to be, it's hard to see, it's kind of dark down there, but there seems to be like a round, rotund pumpkin that's roughly human size down there.
Will?
Hey. Yeah, it's me. Can we talk?
Yeah. Come on up. Pat the seat next to him. Take the head back off.
Sure. Yeah. He creeps out from underneath the bleachers, and he, like, when he gets out from the bleachers, he looks around a little bit, like making sure that there's no one else around, and he hops on up and heads on over to you and takes a seat. And yeah, he's dressed up in this giant goofy fucking pumpkin costume. It's super lame, but it looks handmade, so it's like made with love, so it's great, but also it's super lame. Oof. And he sits down.
Hey, I wanted to find you and say to apologize for, like, everything that happened last time we saw each other and all that. I guess I was kind of just mad at you, and I don't want to be mad at you.
I mean, Will, you shouldn't even be the one apologizing. Like, I should be. You know, I lost my cool. I saw what you were doing. It was awesome. But then you got hurt and I got scared. You know, I hurt Nat. I told Sky about your ring, which was dumb. Kind of figured, you know, bring an actual superhero around to talk to you. I should have talked to you first. I've got a lot to apologize for. I don't even know where to start.
And when I woke up after that, you weren't around, and I thought that maybe you didn't like hanging out with me anymore, or maybe, you know, it was my fault that she got hurt, and I just went about it the wrong way. And I like having you more as a friend than I do as someone I don't talk to.
Yeah. No, I should have stuck around. Like, the neighbor said some things to me, you know, when he saw me there with you, and I ran. I shouldn't have run. I was blaming myself a lot. But, Will, I don't tell you when I said this, but I like having you as a friend. You are an incredible loser, but it's really endearing, man. Like, it's what you're rocking, and just run with it, you know?
Thank you.
That came out poorly, but I think you know what I'm going for.
You meant it well. I'm okay. Yeah. I think that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, right. But also, like, the magic ring thing. Man, find a mentor. Seriously, this stuff is dangerous. Also, I'm not a mentor. Just to cut you off right there.
Yeah, he kind of looks down when you bring the conversation back around to the ring.
Yeah, I know. Listen, the other reason I wanted to talk to you tonight is the ring came back. I have it. I don't know what to do with this information, but the ring, I think Mr. Miracle's inside the ring. And he says that we can't give the ring back to the trifecta because they'll kill him.
Come again?
Where did I lose you? So I have this magic ring.
Right. No. And... Yeah. Okay. No, Will. But why? Why does he think that's what's going to happen? Person in your ring.
Will kind of shrugs, which is hard to see underneath his poofy pumpkin costume.
Whole pumpkin just goes up and down.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. And William says, I told you the ring communicates to me, but I don't. I think it's Mr. Miracle, but I don't think he's all there. He's just the voice that speaks to me, afraid of going back to the trifecta. I don't think they like him a lot.
Well, what's the alternative?
He says I'm the only one that can use it.
But it's dangerous.
Maybe you're right. I do have to find a mentor.
Well, if not the trifecta, who else is in this city that can help? I mean, I guess there's the Valors. But between you and me, I'm not a big fan of laser.
He cocks an eyebrow and says, why not?
He's kind of a sellout, isn't he?
I mean, I never thought of it like that. He just quietly pulled back from the gig.
Yeah. And then suddenly everything's got his face box on it. Lunchboxes, backpacks, shirts, pins, pencils.
Oh, do you mean the original Valor, who was the sellout?
I don't know one from the other, man. Look, superheroes are so uninteresting to me. I know you love them, but... Oh, boy. It's kind of dumb.
Sorry. I don't mean to insult your hobby.
No,
superheroes
it's okay.
are dumb. Yep.
Believe me, I know. Comics are very dumb.
But no, comics are cool.
Them.
Comics are cool. Real life superheroes are just... What are you doing?
Yeah, the pumpkin moves up and down again.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, look, if I stand out here too long, you know, someone's going to find me and blame me for breaking things. You want to go in there and, I don't know, grind on some girls or something?
What?
What?
Maybe we can get some snacks.
Oh, come on. You're a pumpkin. No one can tell who you are.
He gives you a really weird look.
Okay, this time, where'd I lose you?
I'm going to go get snacks. You can come if you want. And he hops off the bleachers.
Yes, as Seraph goes to follow, just a mumbly text bubble saying, God, what's the point of covering your whole face and body if you're not going to fucking misbehave?
Man. Great. Perfect. And so I think that's the last panel of that section. We turn the page and we hop on over to one of the others. Those of you who aren't left behind with Kevin Splash, do you guys have any ideas of what follows or what you want to do? Like I said, for your reference, Matt, the boys had arrived just at the tail end of things, and it's likely that you'd probably catch up with them talking to Madison and Lexi after you were dismissed by Mr. Splash. Same thing with you, Tate, but you don't know the boys. But it's up to you guys where you think the next part of your night kind of goes from there.
I was going to say, probably just walking with Tate, and then at one point I'm just going to be like, wait, do we know each other? My name's Pep.
Actually, was probably in silence most of that time, because he definitely knows who you are, and you've never spoken, because you are too popular.
Probably.
So he's going to be like, yeah, I'm Tate, and he'll also reach out a hand.
Awesome. God, we were going to play some Laserdisc with the boys, but I don't know. Do you want to go do something else?
I was really looking forward to trying out the VR game. Do you want to go do that?
Hold on. Let me go grab the boys and then Lexi and Valor. Have you met any of them? You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then Pep is probably just talking really fast at you.
Yeah, like Tate is completely like you might actually get a glimpse of like the inside of his like mask, and his eyes are just wide, and he's just like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
And he's just, Pep's just basically like fast talking and like running down like all of the boys, like who you're going to meet. And then like eventually he's going to be like,
you
yeah.
You see Tate's still standing there with his hand outstretched because you were shaking hands at some point.
Yeah.
just frozen.
And he's going to be like, yeah. And then, you know, we started hanging out with Sky and her crew, Maddie. Sky's her, you know, superhero name that everybody calls her. But yeah, we started hanging out with Maddie and her crew. I started hanging out with Lexi a lot. And then, you know, they're pretty cool.
Sure. In a very small speech bubble.
As Pep's, like, giving you the rundown and all of this, Tate, your phone starts buzzing.
Yeah, I will definitely pull that out and look at that as a way to, like, sort of retreat a little bit from what's actually happening.
You see that it is your sister calling you.
Oh, okay. This might be important. I'll motion to Pep and be like, I'm sorry, I have to take this. And then I'll answer.
Your sister, like, immediately starts speaking. And she says, hey, brother.
Hey, what's up?
So, you know I'm working at the haunted house right now. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know that Mary's hanging out with some other dude?
She said she was gonna go do something.
Just want you to know I'm gonna have words with her. I think that's unacceptable. And she hangs up.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's exactly how that conversation went. Like, Tate's definitely still standing there with the phone to his face, even though the call's ended, like, still formulating how to respond. And then, like, by the time he puts the phone away, I'm sure Pep will be back with all of his friends.
All the boys.
And, like, Lexi and Maddie, and he's just gonna, like, oh god, he is so out of his element.
Yeah, I come back with about 8 people.
God, he's so out of his element and uncomfortable, but luckily you can't see his face.
The boys are psyched to meet a new friend of Pep's if Pep talks you up a little bit.
Yeah, Pep will talk him up and be like, hey, he was playing Laserdisc with Robbie and got into that fight.
He just gives a wave.
Yeah, the boys are psyched. One of them's like, oh, Tate! Fist fighting Tate! Yeah, and he like comes over. He's super chummy. He like punches you in the arm a little bit.
I assume that that's normal. And so, yeah, like I'll respond in kind.
Yeah, and I think as the boys are introducing themselves to Tate, Pep, Lexi comes over to you. You gave her your costume or parts of your costume to hold on to.
The like hood mask thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So she gives that back to you and she says, it's so good that you didn't actually have to fight anyone. I mean, that would have been ridiculous and terrible to have to like watch you fist fight people. I'm glad you're okay and your brother's okay.
Yeah, I think he's getting into trouble right now. But, you know, I'm also glad it didn't escalate further.
You know what? Kevin Splash, kind of an asshole. So I wouldn't even care at all what he says to your brother.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Splash, he could be kind of a jerk.
Kind of. He's always a jerk. Maddie, tell him.
Oh, yeah, he's always a jerk. He's always walking by and, like, muttering things under his breath about me. And it's really, like, weird. He's like, he really dislikes me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does kind of do that with my whole leg thing. But, you know.
So, Lexi says, so I think that's before we go and do anything else, considering that there wasn't really a fight, which I'm counting as a victory, we can do victory shots. And she pulls out another flask from her bag.
Whoa, how many of those do you have?
My parents have problems. But they're mine now. And she opens the flask and takes a swig.
Did she mean the problems or the drinks?
Who knows?
So I assume that flask gets passed around. Pep would probably like shrug and actually like take a shot this time.
Okay.
And then that scene can end with Pep handing the flask to
Forever Unknown.
Yeah.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Who's the flask going to?
Did you not hear it?
No, I didn't.
No, it's going to.
Oh, I said Tate.
Okay, that's hilarious.
That was amazing.
Did you? Oh, my mic may have cut out or something like that.
Yeah,
I said Tate.
It might have. No, we missed great. The tape part.
Yeah, I think that's a good place for it to end, is him getting it and just him confused about what to do.
We cut back over to Mr. Splash, Tate, and Robbie. Or Mr. Splash, Todd, and Robbie, rather. Too many teen names. And Mr. Splash kind of just crosses his arms and looks at the two of you and says, first of all, since you're here anyways, I wish to inform you, both of you, that your efforts recently in my class have been lacking. Have you been studying adequately recently?
I've been a little busy, Todd will say, as he like wipes a little blood off from like the corner of his mouth.
And I think noticing that, Mr. Splash like reaches into like his sleeve and pulls out a handkerchief for you that he holds hands over without making much of a fuss about.
Todd will thank him and just clear it up a little bit better.
And his attention turns to Robbie as he does that. And Robbie just like mutters some random excuse. Like he just mutters, I haven't been sleeping well recently. And, you know, and Mr. Splash clears his throat. What was that, Mr. Pepper? Robbie clarifies, I haven't been sleeping well. You're a terrible liar. Do better in my class. I'm going to have a few more words with Todd. Help clean up around here. And Robbie is eager to move some distance away from this conversation. So he rushes off to like pick up some of the stuff on the ground or some of the stuff that Seraph broke. Mr. Splash takes a step closer to you, Todd. You've been preoccupied lately?
Yeah, just a few extracurricular activities. He'll just like start rubbing his shoulder a few places where he got hit.
It's odd. Your sister seems to be suffering the same sort of problem. Are you doing stuff together?
Sir, first, I'd like to say phrasing. Second,
I'm going to add a day of detention.
Yeah, just a little. Totally worth it. Nothing wrong with a little family bonding. I hear family's supposed to be one of your closest friends.
Really? I don't hear that.
and I wouldn't know. Listen, Mr. Tabor, if you are doing things after school hours, especially towards the evening, you best be careful. I've heard terrible things about certain organizations in the city. Very dangerous organizations. You best take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. Todd will just say with like a questioning glance at him.
And he says, you're free to go. He's going to go have some final words with Robbie.
He'll nod, but he'll go wait by the door for Robbie. Like, he's not like even leaving. He'll just go to the door and watch them from a distance.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. They chat for a little bit. Like, as they're chatting, Robbie keeps picking up some of the debris left around the Laserdisc Arena. But the chat doesn't last too long, and Mr. Splash dismisses Robbie shortly thereafter. And Robbie will just, like, look around the gym for a little bit, see where you're standing, and come running over. He just looks very eager to get away from this place.
As they're leaving, what's all that about?
I mean, mostly he was just yelling at me, like he always does.
No, I meant not sleeping well.
Oh, I just didn't know what else to say. I have a hard time paying attention to his class.
He does drone on a little bit. But usually you're pretty good with tests, Robbie.
Usually. I don't know. Some of the stuff we talk about in metahuman class just, I guess, gets me thinking about other things.
Hey, don't worry. You and me, crime-fighting best friends.
He squinty-eyed nods. He holds out a fist for a fist bump.
Bring it in. Kaboom.
Kaboom. Let's get ice cream.
Hell yeah. Nothing better than ice cream after a fist fight.
Yeah. And you two meander off as we switch back over to Tate's and everyone who's around Tate at this time. I guess we can gloss over what he does with the flask. We'll leave that to the reader's interpretation. I'm assuming everyone will assume correctly in his reaction to the flask. But if the party at large is moving to somewhere else during the somewhere else in the Halloween dance, maybe the VR room, maybe to get some snacks, wherever they end up going, I feel like Tate's the sort of person who like lags behind just a little bit. He's like not leading the party.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Off sure. to the side, always slightly the loner in the group.
100% figured. So when the boys, Pep, Madison, and Lexi and Tate round a corner, Tate gets grabbed by the arm and held back from the group. And you see standing before you, it's obviously Nathaniel. He is dressed in the same clothing he's always dressed, but he has a cheapo plastic mask of Mayor Michael Carmichael covering his face.
Oh, man.
Fancy running into you here.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I was kidding. I knew you were coming here.
Yeah, I didn't know you were coming here, though.
Who do you think's responsible for the ghosts?
Wait, really?
I got hired.
Oh. Well, congratulations.
It's a nice chunk of change. Not a lot. I mean, it's a public school, but, you know, they did what they could.
Work is work, I guess.
Yeah. Well, speaking of work, mates, I think that we need to take a little peeksy across the veil. See if you can't feel what I feel that's coming straight towards us.
That doesn't sound good. Okay.
Oh, not really. Fancy a trip to the roof?
Sure.
Something tells me the door is already broken.
I don't know why you would think that.
I don't know why either.
I hope.
And he just like pats you on the shoulder.
Yeah. Like, I honestly want to say that they were starting to have this conversation while Nathaniel was walking them away. And like the next panel is them getting to that door.
Yeah, and he's just looking at it.
And you can't see Tate's face. And he's just like, huh, it's open.
Yeah, go figure. All right. So we're going to set up out here. I'm going to get a little meditation circle going. And we'll see how far we can stretch your powers.
Okay. Do you mind if I send a quick message?
No, you can't. No, I don't care. Do what you want.
Okay, he's going to text Todd and just let him know that something's come up, but he'll let him know when he knows more and maybe something that Todd will be able to help with.
Sure, sure. Maybe one cutaway panel showing Todd's reaction to receiving this message, if Alex is up to it.
You just see a panel of Todd, like, spoon in his mouth, ice cream, like, tucked in his arm, looking at the phone, and goes back to talking to Robbie. And just a, okay.
Yep, nice. Wonderful. So yeah, back on the roof, we see just a few panels of like Nathaniel setting up there. He pulls out like a piece of chalk and starts diagramming on the floor. He has Tate like hold on a few things and set up a few candles. And as the panels progress, it's revealed that there's like a lot of stuff that he's producing from his coat that he shouldn't like be carrying. It doesn't look like he's carrying as much stuff as suddenly appears in these panels.
Yes.
But you get candles, you get like a bag of ash or soot of some sort. There's the chalk outline. There's probably a few sticks of incense.
I want him to pull out something that like feasibly would not have fit in a pocket.
Sure. He pulls out a like a fried chicken because he's hungry. He's like, you can feel free to snack on it too.
I mean, Tate is getting hungry because he hasn't taken off his mask or anything yet.
So there's just one panel of the two of you eating a drumstick.
Yes. Yes.
And then at the end of it, finally, we see the two of you set up in a like traditional meditation pose in this fancy arcane circle with smoke billowing from the nearby incense and candles. And Nathaniel says,
there's no real way to explain this. It's something you're just going to have to feel out. Roughly what's going to happen is I'm going to act as a way to bridge the gap between where we are now, the realm of flesh and blood, to the realm beyond. And you are going to use your insights into life energy and all that fun stuff to feel disturbances in the area. The interesting thing, Tate, about life is that it coincides with death. So, in theory, you should be able to hone in on both living and dead energies, which is, in my mind, the key to helping you understand what's going on in the spirit world.
Okay.
You're a great student.
Give him a thumbs up.
Yeah. He closes his eyes and he starts muttering something in a language you don't understand. Tell me what Tate does.
I think he's gonna just sort of relax and look around. He said that he's gonna sort of open it up. And so I want to say that the panel itself, like, it's obvious that they're on the roof. You can still see the background. And then I want to say that the smoke is, like, it almost is reminiscent of the Laserdisc room, where there's more smoke than there seems like there should be based on what has been produced. And then I want to say that you start seeing, like, almost shapes in it as he keeps chanting. And then Tate's going to start trying to reach out with his own power. And depending on whether or not I can do it narratively or you want me to roll.
So I think from what you've described so far, as this goes on and as Tate tries to tap into his own power and just reach his senses out and see what he can actually feel. A visual that we see in these panels, things that happen, there's much more smoke. But at some point, the diagram on the ground begins to slightly glow. And the colors of the like the night sky and the surrounding area outside of the circle shift and darken slightly as Tate begins to try to reach out with his powers, with his sense of life. Some of the candles start flicking out. I think we can totally just do an Unleash Your Powers check, since this is by definition extending your senses, and we'll see how far you can actually go with this. So it's 2d6 plus freak.
Plus freak, awesome. So plus one. So a 10.
So that means you do it. You reach out your senses. And Alan, do you have any ideas on what it looks like or feels like for Tate to get a taste, to get some insights of the realm beyond, of the spirit world?
I want to say that like he's done similar things like with the real world around him. And like what ends up happening is he starts seeing like visual representations of life energy, so like outlines of people. And I want to say that something similar is starting to happen here, at first because it's almost like he's normally using his powers, right? So like they're shrouded in smoke and it's the two of them. You said the night sky is changing, and I think just for fun, his costume is actually reflecting the new sky also. But then he starts to turn a little bit darker because his powers are activating, and that's what happens. And then you start seeing like pinpricks of light in the smoke that combined with the smoke start looking like people or animals or other things that are like in the area. And then it sort of, I think, slowly zooms out, and you just see they're in this glowing circle surrounded by smoke. And the zoom out is sort of representative of how, like, the distance that they're both reaching with their powers.
Yeah, and two of the things that you kind of feel from all of this is somewhere beneath you, there's a, it's kind of like a well of untapped power somewhere from within the school laying dormant. It's an odd sensation. You recognize it not as being something you normally pick up on. It's not like life energy or death energy. It's something different, but you, in this current state, you recognize that swelling of power. A little bit more in touch with what you're familiar with in these panels where we see some of the visual stuff going on around you guys. In the sky, in the distance, there is a very distant, almost bird-like figure, almost glows, but doesn't. From this, Tate feels just this strong pull of like death energy. It's not something that he would pull on to fuel himself. It's the opposite of that, but it's tangible nonetheless. As we're focusing in on all of this and Tate's taking in these sensations, Nathaniel will speak to him and he will say, "You feel the two powers, right? The one beneath and the one in the sky."
Yeah, I feel the red well below, and that, like, his eyes are closed at this point. Bluish bird, and he just points with his eyes still closed.
Funny, you see that as a bird. Well, I'm more familiar with the power beneath us. It's unmistakably the energy, the spiritual energy that often resides in artifacts. The thing in the sky is whatever damned creatures come in here to claim it.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound good.
No, not at all. This image of the bird in the distance kind of takes on more focus or gets a little bit closer. And I think in its most detail, we see it to be kind of like the outline of a phoenix. But instead of glowing gold or glowing with fire, it's just covered in some of the most disgusting rust any metal could be covered in.
Gross.
As that phoenix is closing in, Tate, you feel it on the air, these words.
"You are close. Stay a while."
And the glow on the circle immediately inverts, becomes black. And Nathaniel says, "Oh, that's not good." And we turn the page.
Yep.
Seth, Matt, Danielle, where are your characters doing? Where are they currently located? What have they gotten into since last we saw them in this issue?
Hitting the dance floor.
Nice. Perfect.
Paps probably asked Lexi if she wants to go like dance or something.
Yes. She eagerly agrees.
Maddie's going to go check out the haunted house area if they're going to dance, and they're going to kind of leave the group.
I will say this. I think as like Pep asks Lexi to dance and she eagerly agrees, and some of the boys have like fanned out to go do the VR thing, and some of the other ones maybe have their own dates for the night and are also going to go dance. But coming from the gymnasium is someone make an announcement that says, "It's about that time. Everyone get ready for Tyler Cadence and his first appearance tonight. He will be on in about 5 minutes.
Okay, that changes completely. She is going to go see Tyler Cadence.
Sure, yes. Okay, so all of you end up in the gym on the dance floor or around the area one way or the other. Then I think once we flip the page to see... Seth, can you describe to me what it looks like Scott currently dancing on the dance floor?
big purple grimace. Hand is all kind of fucked up, but like both hands in the air. Just like a giant jiggling mass to a bunch of lights flashing around and thudding bass.
And I think it's safe to say that you could probably convince William to like be a doofus with you on the dance floor if you're not pushing him to grind up against girls too much.
Definitely a little bit of joking around like that out there.
Sure, but, you know. Absolutely. But I think once we flip the page, we see you dancing, but we also see him like stop dancing for a little bit and just like look as if like a cold breeze just like ran over him. And he like looks up for a moment and a very small speech bubble is just like, that was weird. Which you probably don't hear because of the music, but that is what we see. And then in the background of that panel, we still see Natalie on the bleachers looking sad, alone, and depressed.
It's okay. It's for the best.
It is for the best. I guess. Poor Natalie. Pep, why don't you tell me a little bit about you and Lexi on the dance floor?
It's probably super awkward.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's probably a few panels of them doing, you know, various dances, like probably one to an upbeat song, one to, you know, the other people like coming in and out, them like joking around, and then finally like it slows down for like a slow song and they both kind of like awkwardly like look at each other like and then they finally start to dance to whatever the like sappy love song is.
Perfect. And I think during this we get a panel where probably during that, maybe even the slow dance, Lexi just like whispers to you, "You seem really tense. I have just the cure for that. The problem is you probably need to drink a little bit more."
He gets more tense. he stands up like straighter and he's like, alcohol is great.
She laughs and says, "We're just here to have a good time. Don't worry. I won't tell anyone."
He'll just say, "I'm not used to not wearing a mask in front of everybody."
"Well, you can't drink through the mask. That's probably gross."
Yeah.
She smiles, it's but difficult. Then she says, "Don't worry about everybody. Just worry about me."
"I don't know. I feel like everybody expects me to be, I always have to be, you know, cheerful, up, and kind of always positive. And sometimes it's nice to just like relax and hang out. But even when I hang out with the boys, it's like I just have to be up all the time and I have to be the one that's always excited to go do everything. And like, I don't know, sometimes it's nice if people just take over." And then there's like a thought bubble. It's just like, "I'm talking way too much. I should really stop."
"Are you saying you want me to lead for a little bit?"
"What? Oh, no. Wait, am I doing bad? Oh, God, I'm doing bad. See, I watched a couple of videos on, like, how to do this, and, like, now I just really feel like, oh, I'm doing a poor job of leading, aren't I?"
She laughs, and I think she just kind of mutters that you're worrying too much, and she hopes that you can relax a little bit, at least for the moment.
"Well, I don't know. Sounds like me. I mean, I'm always going."
"Well, you don't have to go now. You can stay right here for a while."
He'll just say, "Oh no, I checked the time. I don't have to go anywhere."
"You're such a loser." Yeah, and you guys can keep dancing. Madison, real quick, your best friend having some intimate moments with James Pepper. You're eagerly waiting for Tyler Cadence. What are you actually doing?
Yeah, I'm not over by them because that's awkward. I'm not fair gonna enough. Like fully third wheel with them. I mean, when it wasn't dancing, but now it's like, okay, that's their thing now. I'm super excited for Tyler Cadence to come out. I mean, if there's anybody else that's around there that's like super excited, then I'll join in with that and I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, Tyler Cadence is coming out."
So you're at like right at the front of the stage.
Yeah, waiting. I'm fangirling. I'm fully sure. Fangirling.
Sure. So, yeah, 100%. And there are a few other fangirls and fanboys hanging out in the front, eagerly waiting to see Tyler Cadence live and in the flesh. And I think in a little bit, we do cut to panels that show his entrance.
Danielle, I described Tyler Cadence a little bit. He's kind of a sparkly costume, black hair. But really, Tyler Cadence is your creation, your pop star idol. Can you tell me a little bit more about him? If you're feeling creative today, what's he look like? How does he enter? If you want to go that far.
Oh, gosh.
You don't have to go that far. Just tell me what he looks like. What do you picture
him?
Go
full Ruby Rod. You got to go full Ruby Rod with Tyler Cadence.
I mean, I was picturing something spectacular, like the fog rolls out and the lights shine on the stage in different colors and the music kind of starts and then all of a sudden, poof, Tyler Cadence is on stage.
Oh, there's like a mini explosion with even more smoke and he's just standing there.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. Great, great. Yeah. He's standing there in a pose. The lights like just, he's this beacon because his costume's so sparkly. And I picture him like a youngish dude. He's not a high schooler like you guys, but I don't think he's anywhere over 30. I feel like mid 20s.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And if I picture him, one of those guys with the really long eyelashes. he has makeup on, but like not makeup, you know, like the guy kind of makeup where it's like, okay, well, you need to have makeup on because you're on the stage, but it's not like feminine, but it's kind of like boy makeup.
It's like costume makeup. It just all comes together for the performance.
Yes, he is typical boy band. Like teen pop sensation.
And he makes his appearance and he looks out at the crowd and especially at the people that had gathered at the front of the stage, and his expression just immediately lights up. Like he genuinely just like loves seeing people excited to see him, excited for what's to come. And he smiles at everyone gathered at the front of the stage, and he like points out to the crowd towards the back.
Horizon High! Hello, Tyler Cadence is here. I am so happy to be here.
And he holds out his arms, welcoming, especially the front row, essentially, is just going wild about Tyler Cadence. What's Maddie doing?
We're so happy to have you here. Yelling back. And just like trying to like, you know, do that thing where you try and high five him when he's on the stage and you're on... And you're in the front row.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think other people around you are doing the same thing. And yeah, he goes over and he definitely, like, touches your hands. And he especially gives you, Madison, a knowing wink. Like, he knows who you are. Maybe even a little bit of a finger gun.
A half finger gun.
And he addresses the crowd again, saying,
"Before I go forward with this performance, I just want to say... I know that my musical career has been a little bit of a roller coaster. Some would call it weird that I'm trying to rebuild myself at a high school Halloween dance. However, I feel like there's no better place for me to start than here, getting back in touch with some of my best fans. I look forward to bringing you all music in the future, tonight and every night thereafter. But, truth be told..."
He looks off into the distance very dramatically.
"I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for one very special person who saved my producer from a car accident or something a long time ago."
Jesus.
That's exactly and when what I happened.
Heard... This makes a lot of sense all of a sudden.
"And when I heard that I had the opportunity to repay such an act of heroism, I was excited, and I knew that this would be the first step to a brighter future. I hope everyone will join me in a round of applause for one of this city's greatest heroes, Sky Valor."
And he like looks down at you, Madison, and he just says, "Come up on stage, come up on stage. They'll love it."
Oh my God. Oh my God. And she's just like fanning herself frantically with her hands, and she comes on stage and she's just crying a little bit like, oh my gosh.
Sure. And if this is a panel, like looking from the from behind Tyler to the crowd, there's just this one gigantic speech bubble that's just screaming coming from Lexi. Like, she stopped everything she was doing just to yell as loud as she possibly can.
"Oh my gosh, Lexi, take a picture of this!" She just shouts into the audience, not knowing where she is, just like real quick.
Cut to a panel of Pep standing beside Lexi, who's just losing her shit over Sky Valor being called on stage with Tyler Cadence.
It's just wide-eyed and shocked.
Yeah, Tyler turns to you, Madison. Interesting costume choice. I'm glad I didn't wear the same thing.
Well, I mean, it was something different, but then, I mean, stuff got spilled on it, and then I had to go change it. Oh, I should, yeah, thanks.
He laughs. Listen, can I call you Sky Valor? Should I call you Madison?
Call me whatever you want, Tyler Cadence.
All right, Maddie, this first number's for you.
Oh my god, he called me Maddie.
And the music begins building up once again. But just before he starts singing, over the PA system comes the principal's voice that says,
Madison Myers, I need you to come to the principal's office immediately. It's about your grandfather.
Confusion. Huge amounts of confusion. She just had one of the best things happen to her, like straight out of her dreams. And then just full on, sorry, you have to freaking leave the stage and something happened. So she's just like looking around real briefly, and then she just like looks to Tyler and is like, I guess I gotta go.
He hasn't started singing yet. He has a little bit of time, but he kind of just talks so that only you can really hear him. He like covers whatever microphone's on his person, I guess. And he says,
it's okay. I understand. A hero's work is never done. Maybe next time, Maddie.
I'll be listening. And then she just kind of goes to like shake his hand or something as she leaves.
Yeah, totally. He totally does. He actually does the super lame thing where he like takes your hand and kisses it.
Oh my gosh! I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
He nods, but the music keeps going and he will begin singing. And you go to the principal's office?
Yeah, reluctantly, but yes.
So I think in the panels that follow, they're just panels that show you walking through the hall and passing other kids that are dressed up in Halloween costumes. During these panels, we get speech bubbles with like song notes showing that he's singing, coming from the gym or from behind her. Fly away. It's the first time of today. But eventually we do find ourselves, or Maddie finds herself, in front of the principal's office, Principal O'Shaughnessy. In the office, his desk is completely cleared off. His chair is not faced towards the door, it's facing away. And in the middle of the desk is this small box wrapped up in orange wrapping paper with black bats on it and a tag hanging off of it.
Principal O'Shaughnessy? Knock? Knock?
There is no response, but the music keeps playing from behind you.
She'll walk over to him.
You walk around the desk to him?
Yeah. If he doesn't respond.
Yeah, he doesn't. You walk around the desk to his chair. When you get to a point where you can see him, we cut to a panel that just shows him, and the front part of his face has been melted off.
What?
And
so he's not alive, obviously.
No, his face has been melted off. Just face off.
God damn, Daniel. Yeah.
I had to make sure.
From that, leading kind of off panel, just very small at first, just laughter, just cackling laughter coming from the little box on the desk.
But he was on the prompter prompting me to go in there, or it sounded like him. Wow, really recent. She's freaking out. At first, she's like looking at him like thinking maybe it's some sort of prank or it's a costume, and then when she starts realizing, she's like, and then she just starts, like, fanning herself again, but this time in, like, not happiness. She's just very, like, anxious, and she's like, what just happened? He was on the thing, the prompter, telling me to come down here, and now he's dead. He's his face is melted off. There's a box on the table. It sounds like it's laughing. I don't know what's going on with that, and... She just, like, freaks out for a minute, and then, I assume, goes over to the box.
It's just a full page of, like, 16 panels of her just freaking out in the principal's office.
Yes, just going through that whole range of emotions, where it's like, okay, very funny. Oh, wait, why would you be playing a joke? You're a teacher. And just starts, like, oh gosh, but you were just there, but you were just here, now you're not here, what just happened? It happened so quick, I don't know who's here, when they were here, where are they now? Just, like, completely too much going through her head, because she's a hero, she should be stopping this kind of thing, but she can't see any of what just happened. She's just, like, fully, like, range of emotions, went from the highest high to the lowest low, and just is just fully freaking out.
And that sums up Chris Games in a nutshell.
Amazing. Does she pick up the box?
Yeah, I mean, after she goes through that whole fit, that page of just utterly freaking out, I guess she'll realize that there's laughing coming from the box, and then that's the only lead she has.
It immediately stops laughing.
It's wrapped, right? Open it.
Yeah, it's just a little box, fits in the palm of your hand. Yeah, you open it, and inside is like a little like Bluetooth earpiece.
I hesitantly pick it up and put it to my ear.
You put it to your ear. We get a panel just like you holding this to your ear, and then the following panel, the speech bubble coming from it, is just,
"Hello, trick or treat, Sky Valor."
And that's where the issue ends.
Well, our principal's dead.
Good, fuck that guy.
Yeah, his voice was annoying to do.
I like Principal O'Shaughnessy.
Oh, that's how we know who dies next. Who has the most annoying voice to do?
Yeah, unfortunately for the mayor, I love doing his voice, so he'll never die.
Yay!
Yeah, you put the Bluetooth in your ear, and it's just Mayor Michael Carmichael going, "Ooh, Sky Valor, sick prank, huh?"
Blooper.
Gotcha! Hope you're having a happy Halloween.
Wow, this dummy is very realistic. It almost looks like Principal O'Shaughnessy.
Well, it's not. It's just some other corpse that I dug up and put in his clothing.
You, Mayor Michael Carmichael. Silly.
That's our mayor.
Bye, Craig.
Yeah, that was enough for Craig. Craig. Great. Very nice, Craig. Very nice.
Why is he the worst?
Probably because he's a server-side application.
He had to leave. He had to go to the bathroom.
No recording.
Hi, Craig.
At least you waited for me to finish describing that panel. So thank you, Craig. What a nice cutting point.
Nah, fuck that Craig guy.
Hello, Internet. I suppose Sky Valor was looking forward to a little bit of a different sort of evening. Well, I have my own ideas of fun. And I hope you've enjoyed what I'm bringing to the table, because it's not stopping. In fact, there's still plenty of tricks left up my sleeves.